Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 11:34. You're listening to The Shaletta Show right here at News Talk WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. To Edina, Eden Prairie, Egan, Invergrove Heights, Newport, and my very own Cottage Grove. I got to tell y'all, this has been a tough and rough week. I usually just buy a liter of Grey Duck Vodka for the house, just for cocktails after work and school. But when I went to re-up at Dennis Brothers Liquors in Cottage Grove, I would just tell you, I went for the half gallon. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did, because I knew I was going to need that to get through the week. Homeschooling, distance learning with four children, three of whom have autism, has been a challenge. I had the right kid in the wrong classroom. I pulled out the wrong workbooks for the wrong kids. We were on page one of reading and they were on page one of math. I've got stations set up, wall dividers to try to keep the kids separate, but we can all be in the same room. I've turned my dining room into a classroom. So we got wall dividers up for each child. In each section, they have their table, their chairs, their workbooks, their iPads. They are ready to go. They are ready. Their mother is not. Okay. So, it just wasn't a good week. It wasn't a good week. When the glitches happened, I was happy. They said, oh, we're going to have to cancel the afternoon classes because, you know, there's glitches in the system. Praise the Lord. We went to Raising Cane's and got some chicken fingers and stopped at Culver's for custard because it was too much. It was too much for me. So I went online to find some folks who were doing it successfully. And I ran up on a New York Times article that and the headline threw me because it said the freedom and fulfillment of homeschooling. I didn't find any freedom or any fulfillment in homeschooling. But as I read on, I found out about Ashley Herring. There is a program that she's with in Cambridge, Massachusetts, called the Blackyard Learning Community. It's a home co-op. And she is here on the Shaletta Show to tell us all about it. Ashley, girl, my head is still spinning, and it's been almost 24 hours since the last class. Did you say freedom and fulfillment of homeschooling? That has got to be an error. I'm calling the editors at the New York Times. Now, you are one of nine goodness. Families that they talk to in this New York Times article about yeah. why you chose to educate your children outside of the traditional classroom mm-hmm. setting. Now, your baby was 4 years old when you took him out of the Montessori program near your home in Cambridge, right?
That's right. That's right. I sure did.
Now, what made that happen?
Well, so I guess the other part that should be paired with this is that I'm on my 21st year of teaching. And I did not like who I was or who I was having to be in schools, particularly with Black children. I would say that, like, I had a lot of internalized anti-Blackness, white supremacy through these practices that I had to be a part of in schools. And so straight lines and suspensions and all these things that violate our kids, particularly Black kids. And then to see Lamont not being his full, beautiful Black self in a school was what finally I got to a breaking point and said, I can't do this anymore. I need to be in someplace different to nourish myself. He needs to be a different place. And let me tell you, that story about getting vodka, that ain't in the New York Times, but that is also a part of our story.
Now, this co-op, oh my God, how did you find it? Black Yard Schools, these beautiful babies coming together, you and other parents, talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I would say that these are a bunch of black folks that I met in Cambridge through different ways. I'm an organizer. I live in the art world doing theater. And so I met these families, these black families, through different venues and different ways. And we all just kept having this conversation about how school was not doing what it needed to do for our children. And this is generally speaking, like, you know, it was a roller coaster for a lot of us. But what we know is when we walked into the building, there weren't pictures of our children up. And if there were, they were the same old ones. Not that I don't honor Dr. King, not that I don't honor Harriet Tubman, but we are vast and wide, and we are diasporic. We are everywhere around the world. And it just wasn't happening. And our kids were shrinking up, and they weren't allowed to be full and free. And so we said, are we willing to do this together? Can we trust each other to educate our children with all we have? Do we have enough? And we just decided we had no choice but to try. And we tried. And it was challenging. It was up and down. It was everything you said it is. It's hard. I have days that are a mess. You know, it's difficult, but it is worth our kids not being sent out of class over and over again. It's worth them not come. You know, it's not that they don't cry. It's not that we don't do it wrong, but we know we're doing it fueled with, like,
love.
The love that we have, yes, for them, for our blackness. So we said enough is enough, and we said we got to do it.
So tell me the difference you see in the kids, because now I'm getting inspired. And that's what reading your article in the New York Times did. We're talking to Ashley Herring, 2 decades in education, pulled her son at the time, 4 years old, out of Montessori school to homeschool, started a co-op in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and is the focus of this New York Times article called The Freedom and Fulfillment of Homeschooling. I'm so glad that I read it. And I want to know, how is Lamont? What's the difference like between when he was in that traditional school setting to now?
Yes. So I would say the difference, there are a lot of differences that I see. I remember dropping him off and his body and his whole being just wilding out. And I was like, you know what? This is a part of life. We got to learn to be in places. We got to learn to struggle. And I just thought, something's not, he is trying to communicate something to me, and I had to work because we needed a salary. You know, I love to teach, but I'm watching him communicate and be like, this ain't where I want to be. This ain't it, mama. And then upon picking him up, he would dart out the door, wrap his arms around my legs, and just be looking up at the teacher in a very meek kind of way. And I thought, this should not be the relationship. And so what I see now is someone in his fullness, someone in, like, he is like naming values out loud. Like, he wasn't naming values. He's like, I want to, you know, I'm sorry because I did this. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have put my hands on someone. Mm-hmm. Hey, nice to meet you. Can I shake your hand or give you a hug? Can
wow.
I, what are your pronouns? He is much more aware of who he is and not trying to conform to the rules, trying to make our children fitting these rules. And I'm not saying he doesn't have to live like everyone else. I know their boundaries, but I also need him to love himself, because we both know. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I know that if you are not confident in who you are and you can't acknowledge what other people need from you, you will kind of be a mess out here in the world. Like, we call people toxic,
yeah,
and narcissistic.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing him shed patriarchy and misogyny and, like, all those things that we get caught up in.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you said that, because especially for my son, Brandon, who has a very sensitive spirit, and he has autism, mm-hmm, and he did talk for a while, going back to school, he was just so anxious about it. And we were driving home and we passed the school. school, and the kids were saying, oh, you know, we'll be going back to school next week, which was this week. And he just got so upset, and he started recalling incidents of bullying and how, you know, he came home with a black eye and, you know, we had to change the classes and how stressful that was for him and how he couldn't really express himself with his autism to tell us exactly who did it until another student confessed that he saw what happened and, you know, and gave the names of the little boys who were doing it. And so once he found out that he was going to be at home, he was so relieved. He was so much better. He's so happier. And like you said, there's a freedom of knowing that the people around me aren't just teaching me. They love me. Do you feel that with the children in your co-op?
I do. I do, Shaletta. And I, you know, there are two things that come into my mind when after the story you told. Thank you for sharing that. And I do, I believe that we can have schools that hold kids and love them and it be rigorous academically. I'm not saying, a lot of people are like, well, what about getting into college? What about, I want all of that. And I think it's possible in schools and it's too bad that it doesn't. So I definitely see this trust and this care, which is possible to do in schools. It just gets lost in the mix of worrying about too many things, testing and what's the rating of the school, and we lose our kids in that. And I think the other thing is when we come to our human beings like your child, who are some of our most vulnerable in this world because we made it that way, like folks who are trans youth and folks with I want to make sure neurodivergent and folks who are, you know, carrying different things that can be taken advantage of. When we are teaching our kids who to like center folks and care for everyone, our schools will be better, our communities will be better, and that, you know, we'll have less of the bullying and hopefully we can eradicate all of it. But we're so worried about, can they do trigonometry in the ninth grade, that like who we have as human beings then are like casting out everybody that we need.
Yeah, and I've heard from so many teachers who say that they are teaching to the test. You know, they don't have a chance to really allow their students to learn or read new books or explore things because they have to teach to the test and get prepared for the next test after that. And what's the next test after that? And so these kids are running in a hamster wheel. And so they don't have an opportunity to ask questions or explore or be vulnerable, which we talked about in our last segment with Jason Clopton, the Teen Whisperer. You know, and so I just appreciate the fact that you talk about your son talking about a hug or emotions, you know, so that they can find out exactly who they are, how they feel, and be sympathetic to how other people feel.
Yes. I feel like I have read enough to understand that when a person, child or an adult, is secure in who they are, how you're able to learn and explore the world goes so much more deeply. And I mean that on the range of things. I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about young people whose aspirations may be to go to college and be a professor, a doctor, a plumber. Like you, the way you can interact in the world when you are loving yourself and thinking about other folks, it just goes so much further. And I feel like we know that. And that is not what we choose to do. For some people, right?
Right.
For some kids, that's what they get. At these private schools, at some of these private schools, the world is the oyster. And then when we get down to some schools, other schools, and they have their own, private schools have their own.
Their own issue, right.
Their own issues. Every learning community, every school does. But when we get to schools where the predominantly, you know, it's predominantly black or brown and indigenous, and there are 30 kids in a room, and we're worried about this test after this test, is when you get what we get.
And so, we have a real learning curve, real learning gap in the state of Minnesota. Education is great as long as you are at a white school. You know, our African-American schools a lot of times don't have books. you know, they send the kids home with copies and packets, you know. And so when my family and I moved back here, because we lived here before and we were single, so it didn't matter where we live. Right. But we moved back here with four children. Three of them have special needs. We want to move to North Minneapolis. We want to live by our church and our friends, but we can't. Because the special education team isn't prepared to handle our children. So we got to go all the way 45 minutes across town where we don't have support, where we don't know anybody because the schools are better. Why are we still in the same state with the same money, with the same governor? Right. With the same legislators. But we can't get the same education 45 minutes down I-94 in North Minneapolis that we can get going up 1061 to Cottage Grove. Girl, they got a whole autism center. Everybody in my house got an iPad and chargers and workbooks. Girl, even offered to give us mobile hotspots, you know, and 45 minutes away, girl, they got packets.
Have mercy.
You know, and so, like you said, what options are you giving these kids? Why would they want to stay in school? Why would they want to learn and do more? Because they're not seeing it that they can do and be better.
Yes.
Okay. Now, don't go anywhere.
Okay.
We got one more segment. And when we come back, you are doing this thing successfully, which is why you are featured in the New York Times and I am not. Okay. So you are going to provide us with some tips. You know, whatever you got in your wheelhouse that you can help us make it through the school year with, because we don't know how long this is going on. And if we can do it well enough, maybe we can just do like you, girl. Co-op it out and keep on doing it. We're talking to Ashley Herring. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.